joy.
I'm not gonna worry about your level of concern.
Joy and double joy.
We talking about Twitter.
Triple joy.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple joy.
We mock ourselves.
We want to unleash hell here in December.
That was the wrong button, but... Welcome to... June Gloom! June, right? April flowers bring May flowers. April showers bring May flowers. June, I don't know. What do they say about June?
I think they just say gloom because it rhymes. It's actually very sunny out.
Oh, is it?
Well, I mean, it was.
I'm huddled up in a hoodie back here in my cave, like I'm guarding Kenny's playbook.
It's never too early to unleash hell.
No, that's true. It's December somewhere, right? Bottoms up. It's what Jen's talking about. The conversation about the Steelers conversation. I'm Kyle Kreis. I'm here with Greg Benevent.
Hello.
You know, Chuck Knoll said, if you want to win, you got to do the ordinary things better than anyone else does them. Mm-hmm. And Mike Tomlin said, if you want unique results, you better be willing to do unique things.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We're trying to be extraordinary and unique.
Yes. Uniquely ordinary, or making the unique ordinary. I don't see those two statements in conflict with each other.
You're exactly right.
Okay, well, let's get to the takes. Hmm. Starting with, let's do a little batting practice with con season. Rock around the clock, con season, 24/7, 365. Or it's also a little hindsight.
Hmm.
Start with the... this isn't a tweet. This is, what do we have? We don't have an Instagram sound. We'll give it the Reddit sound because I saw this on Reddit. But proper attribution to Arthur Molette _. Being loyal will leave a sour taste in your mouth. You got to get what you can from these MFs because they don't have no loyalty in this business. They pay who they want to pay and slave who they want to slave. Weird-ish ain't football. Ish is a popularity contest. Some sour grapes from Arthur Molette.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, obviously they brought in some big names. Pat Peterson, mm-hmm. Joey Porter Jr., Corey Trice, no names, no gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
If the expectation for Molette was that he thought he might get an extension this year, and then all that happened, you know, is it sour grapes or is he being unprofessional?
Being loyal will leave a sour taste in your mouth is almost Shakespearean. I mean, that's a great phrase, and that's something that I'm going to take with me. Two, maybe I'm looking at it too much of like a positional level, because I felt what really kind of did Molette in is the bringing in the other slot guys. I mean, it's Molette wasn't really competing with Joey Porter Jr., just because we know last year he wasn't competing with, you know, Levi Wallace, nor was he competing with Will Witherspoon. It was, you know, I could see from Molette's standpoint, and boy, I hope we aren't talking about this later in the season, being bitter about the other guy from the Vikings that isn't Pat Peterson, the guy that maybe didn't have the best season that looks like he's got the inside track to be the inside guy. I don't even know how to say his name yet. Chandon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that looks like he's going to be the guy, and I don't know if he's going to be any better than Molette.
You know, everyone, a lot of the comments were, oh, he was horrible in pass coverage, but that wasn't what his role was. You know, he was doing things that he wasn't necessarily being asked to do initially.
Right. He was doing things that he was not asked about during the job interview before he signed, which is what I think is a lot. How can that not be a lot of the subtext of being loyal will leave a sour taste in your mouth? I work to do something that I'm not naturally good at for these guys. I didn't look great doing it, and then they let me go.
So can he have a point, or is it is he just in bad form?
I think he has a point. Yeah. I think I don't see this, and maybe my standards have gotten too low, and maybe also the fact I like Arthur Berlet is that I don't see this as, you know, a big screaming tantrum throwdown. I see this as, maybe it's because I'm getting older, a frustrated man venting his frustrations. I don't see this as a condemnation. I see this as a sad case of both sides acting in what they thought were their best interests.
It doesn't change how I feel about him. You know, no. he was part of the heart and soul, you know, I would say, along with like Cam Sutton and probably Joe Hayden before him, you know. Mm-hmm. But so you lose part of that, Marcus Allen, you lose part of that aspect of the locker room, and what he could do in the run, and he did have a good big third down stop at the end of the season.
He wasn't the worst slot cornerback. It's entirely possible that guy from the Vikings that get in is worse. I mean, I was remembering times from last year. I forget if it was after the Bills game where he was like the one guy that was like willing to stand up in the locker room, and be like, you know, and really be like, hey, this sucks.
In a blowout or mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's flip to offense at Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk. The details of the Mitch Trubisky extension suggest he accepted it in the face of a not-so-subtle message that he could be cut if he didn't. Here's the actual quote. Quote, as the source put it, it appears Trubisky accepted the two extra years to avoid being cut before making $8 million in 2023. So did someone, you know, bring him in, you know, put the hood over his head, bring him into the room and say, okay, you want to make this $8 million this year? Then you got to stick around for two more. Was it mutual, or was he under the gun?
I wonder if it, there's so many weasel words in this. As the source put it, it appears, to avoid.
Yeah.
It does. So there's a lot of different things, but I think... this isn't the craziest thing to think, just because, you know, again, we can't 100% predict the future, but as we just talked about last week, past results showed a future and all that or something. So I think a lot of guys who are in a similar position as Trubisky, where you're a backup quarterback for what a year from now might be a very established starting quarterback, and they're thinking, ooh, we could save $8 million by getting someone else to stand on that clipboard and maybe start a game or two. Maybe that's a place where we can save money to go fix whatever the need is we have next year. So I think they looked at maybe other guys who were in a similar position, looked at Trubisky's deal and tried to put two and two together, even if they were in shadow.
You mean, what's the backup option if not Mitch?
It was that game we played where you brought out the little buzzer thing and I had to go through the thing and I had to seriously consider Teddy Bridgewater. So that in and of itself was worth $8 million of money I don't have to avoid that.
Maybe there's another option. How about @_Chuck_Yinzer? Wonder if the Steelers could rob the Raiders and trade them Mason Rudolph for an overpay return if they're desperate enough. Don't want to lose him with the new QB rule, but everything is for sale for the right price. Still trying to get rid of Mason. Raiders have is it a question mark because their guy just had surgery?
Yeah, I think it's that, Jimmy G still isn't 100%, no matter how many, you know, smiling photos he takes in the middle of that big stadium. Excuse me. I'm only interested in this trade as if you could Chase Claypool them and get something that's like way over what someone else might initially think. I mean, having, you know, maybe the best third string quarterback in the NFL is not nothing, but and I could see it certainly be willing to trade that for the right price. But I mean, if that happens, then again, then you seriously are looking at, like, I don't even know who's still out there to come in as the third guy. I mean, I don't know if it would be that weird bald kid from Minnesota, but if the Raiders are willing to overpay, then I could see doing that.
Wouldn't call up Joey Flacco for one last run?
If he wants to do it, I mean, it's as a third guy. Again, having, you know, having multiple experienced older quarterbacks ahead of Kenny isn't the worst thing. I mean, not that anyone ever says, like, wow, Flacco's really a leader. But, you know, having a guy with real Super Bowl experience couldn't hurt. But the Raiders would have to really pay for that. And they'd have to say that they really pay. And it's Raiders, so they might. I mean, that's not – I can't rule that out entirely.
That's a joke to me.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a fun ending, I guess, for that saga. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how about let's take a little trip down memory lane.
Yesterday's a hard word for me.
Because it looks like back in the news from at Blitzberg. Blitzberg, Le'Veon Bell on retiring as a Steeler. Pittsburgh is where I'll retire. You know what I'm saying? That's just it. Because I've already been other places. It's not Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell, he's back. He's ready to retire as a Steeler. Mm-hmm. Can you do that now? I don't know. How does all this work?
I think it's that sign a one day contract thing, just like Hayden did with the Browns. But it's the Steelers to the most likely do it. But there's part of me that's, this is the first one I've ever had one of these before we get to the great AB debate years down the line, where I've been like, I can't say like I'm 100% sure they'll say yes. I'm like 95% sure they'll say yes. But, you know, this is the first one where like, was this the first guy to ever get turned down for this? They wouldn't do that. Not for Bell. He had too many good years.
I mean, can anyone just do it? Like if... I don't know. You know, if Derek Watt wanted to retire as a Steeler,
I think the Steelers are pretty good about the alumni as much as any team, as far as we know. I think if you played for the team and you want to retire for a day, I think you get that. That doesn't mean you'll necessarily get, you know, the letter of recommendation from Kevin Colbert pushing your boarding school or whatever that was that Robert Golden got. But like, I think they'll more or less let you do this.
Well, you know, can Kristen Kurtz retire as a Steeler?
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, if you weren't a star athlete, you're necessarily all that interested in that. I think you might be like, "Hey, I've retired because I'm not getting another job." Like, I don't know, but it's. But if you have that connection to a team, I think they'll let you do it.
Duck? Well, Duck is retired.
Duck is retired. Well, I mean, but or like Duck went to camp with the Rams, right? Like, I don't know if Duck can retire a Ram. I mean, I guess maybe they'd let him. I don't know. Duck seems like a personable chap, but.
Well, someone who's not letting him retire, a Steeler, user 16 beats a one on Reddit. His bad decision making cost fans years of enjoyment and a lot of Steelers wins. Is that his ultimate legacy? Is it like, oh yeah, he was the guy who tried to hold out and didn't work out.
I mean, it is a real turning point in terms of contracts in the league. Because the interesting thing is, as much as his holdout didn't work for him, it was right from the standpoint of, wow, running backs really are devalued. And then that just kind of kept going. Like, that point, he was 100% correct about that. I don't know if you have it written on here, but the thing is, when he came out in this podcast, and it's, and by the way, we should absolutely, if we could get Le'Veon on here, this would be an absolute hoop. But he basically said like, oh yeah, before the games, we'd get stoned. We would get very high. And everyone was like, oh, that's okay. The only thing I thought of when I wondered about that is like, man, does that explain showing up basically late to that last game against the Jags in the playoffs?
Oh, is that what happened?
He shows up like right at kickoff. Like, and that's why he doesn't play the first two series. And look, I mean, it wasn't Le'Veon's fault that, you know, the defense couldn't stop Blake Bortles. That wasn't on Le'Veon. I wonder if that's where things really came to a head in that. Because, I mean, that's, I could see maybe that be one, the game where, hey, maybe you're not taking it all that seriously. You're a big favorite at home. Maybe you have that extra joint, you know.
Everybody else gets a little tight.
Right. He was a little loose. I before you said that, I was going to say, it doesn't really bother me too much. Because
right. It didn't either until I thought of that.
By the time you do like warm ups and all that it's like, okay, so like an hour and a half or so, 2 hours has passed, whatever. But, you know, when you put it like that.
That's just, see, I hadn't, it took me like a while to think of that. And then that hit me all at once. Is that why he showed up right at kickoff? Is that why, you know, Tomlin sits him for, was it the first two series? Was it the third series? I feel like it wasn't the first quarter because I feel like he makes some kind of play when they're down 21-0 to keep one of those drives going.
I somewhat resent that.
Yeah, I do resent talking about the Killer Bee years. Okay, wait, let's get to at Adam Crowley. Adam Crowley, does Le'Veon Bell belong in the Steelers Hall of Honor? 78.9% no, 21.1% yes. Certainly not Hall of Honor this year. We got a lot of names to get to get through.
And that, and the second part of exactly what there is. I mean, if a decade from now we've cleared out all the names, then absolutely you can put Le'Veon in. And maybe Le'Veon's a guy who changes his image around. I mean, I mean, people may forget, you know, the most hated teammate on his team at the time was Santonio Holmes. Everyone couldn't stand the guy. And now he's, you know, he's friendly, smiley, changes personality, does a lot of wonderful things. He's the prince of a dude. And Le'Veon is certainly smart enough and clever enough and has enough of his life ahead of him to make similar changes. So maybe 10 years from now, we look at that very differently. But there's a lot of guys to get to before we get to Le'Veon.
Yeah, the cream. Well, let's see where he ranks among the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Opening day, NFL ask, where does Le'Veon Bell rank among Steelers' all-time greats at running back? Okay, mm-hmm. So there's the 10,000-yard club, obviously, mm-hmm. Franco, Bus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, so who's next after that? You know, you've got someone like, Willie Parker, mm-hmm. who has 5,300 yards, 24 touchdowns, 2 Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too much different than Le'Veon Bell, 5,300 right. yards, 35 touchdowns, 3 Pro Bowls, 2 mm-hmm. All Pros, you
yes.
know? So who do you think is number three, or is there another name? Is there, you know, would you go off the board?
No, I think, Parker gets the nod just for more games and, that Super Bowl certainly helps. But it's Bell is, and I think even just as like kind of like a smell test, the eye test, God help us all. Like when you looked at Franco, I wasn't around for it, but I imagine it was easy to look at. This is probably the best running back in the league. When you looked at the Bus in his prime, you were thought this is the best running back in the league. There were years with Bell where you looked at it and said this is the best running back in the league.
Yeah, that's one more thing on the history tip. How about at Steelers News Now, Steelers fans, Touchdown Wire, this is USA Today, Touchdown Wire calls Steelers 72 playoff run the most fun without a Super Bowl. Interesting metric, the most fun without a Super Bowl. And I'm thinking, okay, 72, obviously the immaculate reception, but
right.
I can think of 76, which was like supposed to be the best defense of all time.
Mm-hmm.
89, which was they started 0-2 and went to the divisional round.
And no one ever started a harder 0-2 than the 89 team.
95, the obviously the Super Bowl 30 year that had that was fun. How
yes,
you know
that was
and even then even modern like 2010 and 2015. You know the other Super Bowl losing year.
I mean, I certainly see your point. The only thing I can wonder, and I certainly can't know the determining process from the good folks at whatever TD Wire is that maybe
it's USA Today.
Oh, okay, well maybe they're looking at it as teams that didn't actually get to a Super Bowl. Which would eliminate 95
without
and 10.
A Super Bowl appearance.
That's what I was thinking too.
And right, the other thing, eliminate those. Then.
I mean, maybe. But the only other thing I can think is that if they're thinking it most fun, I can see that from the standpoint of, I mean, the Steelers were the worst team in what any sport. The way they talk about it, it's essentially the opening 20 minutes of Major League just in football up until the 72 season, and this is the first time that anyone cares going into that game. So I can see it being the most fun. It's like, hey, where did these guys come from? And I mean, just speaking for my own life that I was around for, 95 had a lot of that because it was like, hey, this got so close a year ago. But then again, that's just it. Maybe. Maybe that makes it not so much fun because that entire season we're thinking like, okay, this all comes down to the AFC Championship game and they have to be there. So maybe that wipes it out from being the most fun just off of that. And
well, if you're looking for the most fun time travel trip, I've already decided there's a weekend in 76
okay.
where you can see the 76 Steelers.
Uh-huh.
It's in November. And then, like, the day before, there's, like, a Springsteen concert also at Three Rivers.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, if you only got a weekend in a time machine
right.
and you're looking for a fun time, I highly recommend November 76.
Oh, yeah, you exactly. You can fix the past later. Like, have a good weekend at Three Rivers, at the Confluence.
You know, if you only, it's like, I don't know, if you're ever in that situation. should we go to break or should we... Let's have some fun, right?
Okay.
Let's it's all been serious. How about Oh, man, there's so many stupid buttons. How about... All right, heads up, buckaroos. We can still blame Canada for many things, including this tweet. At Steel Curtain, Steel Curtain. The one and only thing that can derail the Steelers' 2023 season, it would be Canada's inability to find a way to get the playmakers involved in the offense. Ah, if only Canada could read this now, and then he would be able to figure it out before August. Why isn't Canada getting the playmakers involved in the offense?
Oh, why isn't he doing it here in the depths of June gloom? I mean, in a weird way, this is a bizarrely optimistic tweet, because, wow, is that nowhere near the one and only thing that can derail the Steelers 2023?
Nothing can stop us now except our kryptonite, and he's running the offense.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just there's so many things that can go wrong. It just hit me now. One of the things that can go wrong is that, like, you know, the 13 new guys take a minute to acclimate to the team and cause it to gel. I mean, that can be a thing that can throw it off too. There are so many things that can do. I wish Canada's inability to find a way to get the playmakers involved in the offense was the only way this could go wrong.
How about this? At Trib Sports, Tribune Review Sports. Steelers players say critical offense approach has totally changed from last year. Here's the quote from George Pickens. From a game plan standpoint from last year, it's totally changed. First down is more critical this year. It sets up go balls, posts. That's one of the things we've been talking about in meetings, too. The first initial down is probably the most important down. This year, it's different. First down is different. We've been worried about probably, what, third and fourth. We're always worrying about situational ball. Well, it's always first down somewhere.
It's always first down somewhere. And they were almost too good on third down in the second half of the season that there's nowhere to go but down from that. I mean, in a weird way, this isn't at all critical of Canada, because this is kind of what has to happen. The offensive approach has totally changed from last year. Yes, the second year player is telling you this has changed from last year. Why? Because he'd been in Pittsburgh for like a month when he got the playbook last year. What they told him had better have changed. It has to be something that's totally changed, because now you're in a position to do more of it. It's funny because he even expressly says here it sets up go balls and posts. Isn't that what everyone yelled about all late last season and all through the offseason so far, is that when you looked at the route tree for George Pickens, it was all Christmas trees. It was all just straight that way. Like, it's
no
so,
posts.
Yeah. Right. So there weren't. So he's even telling you, like, hey, they're telling me other things to do.
I love it. Look out. First down. That's the insider tip. First down this year. Okay, let's get to the second half. Coming up in the second half, you know, this, I know it's a little bit old news, Kenny's car getting stolen, but of course, the media isn't telling you the whole story. So I did a little private investigation. It's time that we turn this into a true crime podcast. So, if you heard of Serial, we're gonna bring you Steelerial. It's the second half of what Jin's talking about.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I mixed up halfway. At first, I was going to start off like something goofy, and then I was like, no, I'm going to make it Poltergeist. It was a fail.
Well, I mean, it's our, and remember, the last two Poltergeist movies were very goofy.
Yeah, what, one was in the high rise?
The third one's in the high rise with Tom Skerritt. The second one's when they go out to like the desert house, and the ghost comes out of Coach's mouth.
Oh.
Like, and,
the first one is all
stone
time
cold classic.
Yeah, all time. And then, I might want to revisit the high rise one. That's kind of spooky now.
Well, because a lot of people died at real life after they filmed it. It's one of those cursed films. Not that we need to get into this stuff, but yes, it's one of those a lot of tragic stories from that third movie.
Okay, well, QB1 is in the news. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh my God! They
groomed
Kenny.
They're grooming Kenny. Let's get to the tweets. At Kyle Beagle. Bleacher Report projects modest stats for Kenny Pickett's 2023 season. 3,600 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. You know, that sounds-
I was going to say, that sounds a little north of modest. That sounds like the Steelers are competing for the division crown if they're putting up those numbers and they're not racked with injuries. Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Plus, that doesn't even tell you what the rushing. I think they gave him another four rushing touchdowns
okay,
as well.
Then,
so
yeah. Okay. More than double the touchdowns to interceptions in a second season. I think we'd take that.
Yeah. I don't think Ben threw for 3,600 yards until
later on.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, Siri. I don't know. I should have pulled that one up.
No.
How about at Adam Shine. Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett is one of the top bandwagons to jump on ahead of the 2023 season. A new metric, bandwagon. No one's has a bigger bandwagon than Kenny Pickett.
It seems to be that way so far. I mean, I saw, I don't know if it was a meme or I don't know if it was a graph or whatever unholy combination of the two, but they had like, you know, quarterbacks to take the next leap and it was Kenny and it said most likely it was Purdy. It said, was there anywhere to go? It was that Howell kid from the Commanders, and it said probably not, and it showed Malik Willis and it said no chance.
Oh.
and that made me feel sad. Like, I mean, that seems mean for a meme that's being shared or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it's, I can see, I mean, the Steelers quarterback had a, I'm kind of surprised that like someone's going to bring up like the bandwagon meter between now and August and it's going to be really infuriating, but it seems like if there was a bandwagon that people were sleeping on, it was Kenny, because again, the second half of the season was very good, and that seems like if you were looking for a bandwagon to leap on here in, you know, around the end of the high school year, this would be a time to do so.
His bandwagon is one of those big double buses from the UK.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's two levels, and there's like a dude, you know.
Plenty of, it's like, here's the Pickett band would be, and then meanwhile, it's like, yeah, here's the Howell
yeah,
bandwagon. It's like a Subaru.
Yeah,
or
it's one of the, like a Mini Cooper, like it's, if we're sticking with the British thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. Oh. Very good.
Sorry.
Okay. And then, of course, Kenny's big story? I don't know. You know, I don't think it was big enough. I think that it didn't get the attention that it deserved. But of course, it brought out a ton of bad jokes.
Ugh.
Let's get to the worst of the Kenny car thief jokes. At Blitzburg. Can report Kenny Pickett's car thief opened up the Steelers playbook and saw 100 pages of jet sweeps and gently put it back, saying, "Mad Canada sucks."
That's a lot of words to get to that punchline.
Mic'd Up Sports 1, Mike Nicastro. Police are searching for a man said to have stolen Kenny Pickett's playbook. Man is 5'10", roughly 250 pounds, wearing an overgrown sweatshirt hoodie. Police have released this sketch. It was a pic of Belichick. Oh, I'll give Gavin that. That's kind of cute.
Is he really 250 pounds?
Is he? If 5'10", 250, I guess. I've got
that's
that. I guess I've got that Belichick bod.
Well, no, I mean, I can't tell the guy's wearing a hoodie, no, regardless of context. When do you ever see him in like even a polo shirt? Like, yeah,
yeah, not at the pickleball court. At Luciao, 1992, Matthew Luciao. Kenny Pickett knowing he left Matt Canada's playbook in his car, and then it was that scene from Seinfeld where. Kramer's jacket stinks up the car, so Jerry just gives it to some guy on the street.
I remember that.
I'll give him credit for the reference.
No. I mean, it was a solid Seinfeld reference. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you think that reference isn't old enough, at TJ Garrow, Tim Garrow, this would be ideal for Canada's offense, and it's a pic of an Etch-a-Sketch.
It's an Etch-a-Sketch, yeah.
If you knew how to use those Etch-a-Sketch, that's a pretty good skill. I never had those.
Oh, I could never figure it out either. They do them in horror movies now, like the ghost gets control of it. And it's like, wow, the ghost is better at that than I was.
Yeah. Right, yeah. The ghosts, if you died before the 80s, you have no idea how your ghost can't use an Etch-a-Sketch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, I never thought of it like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. At Eric Z-Man 1, Eric Z-Man, the thief didn't know it was a playbook because it only had two pieces of paper folded up. All right.
Vincent Price enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's a dark laugh. And this is actually my favorite.
That was mine too.
At SUNY Roz, J. Christ, not that one. The guy who stole the car is just like Kenny Pickett. He had barely one good drive. Why does it take so long to laugh?
That's a good play on words. I mean, that's just smart wordplay.
Yeah, I mean, we know Kenny didn't. He had technically a couple good drives, at least two.
Right.
But I like that.
The play on words is clever.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, can I make a joke that's not about Mad Canada, please? All these, you know. So my joke was, the playbook just said two things. Pick them up and put them down.
Why didn't he pick them up and put them down?
All right. So much for...
Well, I just remember you and I talked about this on Saturday, and you were like, how can this happen? And my theory was that, you know, Kenny either parks at home where he's secure, or he parks at the Steelers practice where he's secure. And this was the one time you told me he was like at some auto dealership. So when he's always used to security and there being security around, he simply throws his keys in the car and then leaves it that way. And there was the one of the rare times he's somewhere other than that, and someone took advantage.
Oh, yeah, I've been thinking way too much about this. You know, for the past week, I spent every working day trying to figure out where a second-year quarterback was for an hour.
This is a Global Tel Link prepaid call from
Myron Cope on sports.
An inmate at Yinzer Correctional Facility.
That's right, from what Yin's talking about in WASP in Brownsville, PA. It's Steeler-y-ol. Did you listen to Serial?
I lied about it for a few years. I knew enough of context clues to get my way through it. It was a genuine phenomenon when it hit, though. They got that kid out of jail, right?
I think he's back in now.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
well,
I think they overturned the overturn.
Okay, I thought something like that might have happened, but man, for a moment, they were riding high on the culture.
Let me tell you about all the questions that weren't answered in this Kenny Pickett car thief thing, you know,
okay.
Because there's a lot of misinformation and unreported information, and there's, you know, there's known knowns, there's unknown knowns, and there's unknown unknowns.
And known unknowns.
Known unknowns.
Known unknowns. That's what Rumsfeld originally said. Yes.
And unknown unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, okay, I think we, and knowns. Let's talk about what we know. because this was got reported wrong. Okay, so what was stolen was a 2023 blue Genesis GV70 SUV. Okay, this is not a Hyundai. You know, it was like, you know, Hyundai is the parent company. That's like saying what they drive on Fast and Furious is, you know, like a Mitsubishi or something.
Okay.
You know,
you have to specifically say it's a Genesis, which is also hilarious as the name of a car to someone of our generation.
But, and you know, this is a $78,000 vehicle. Okay, this is not, you know, this is not some Hyundai or whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
And you know, he's had, and this happened at Bowser over in Monroeville.
Okay.
Who he's had, Kenny's had the deal with them since 2021 when he was still at Pitt.
Okay.
That year they gave him a GMC Sierra pickup.
Ah, because we're definitely on the lines of that name, image, license stuff there.
So I don't know if he gets a new one every year or, you know, if he just, it's like, you know, it's time to grow up past the pickup and
and get a Genesis SUV.
A luxury. I mean, this thing, you know, it doesn't look like an SUV. It's more closer to one of those crossover looks.
I see.
But it's, you know, it looks nice.
Genesis does what Sierra don't.
Yeah, something like that. About the power of Bowser there. So, okay. So Bowser is about, it takes about 22 minutes to get from Acrisure to Bowser. And if you remember from my conversation with Alfonso Graham, sounds like practice ends at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Not rush hour.
Not exactly, you know, but, you know, so he can't get over to Bowser until, let's say, you know, 2:30.
You got a shower, you get dressed, you go over, you know, not just jump in a car.
And, you know, WPXI, the reporting was that he was there advertising. I don't know if, I think it's a little bit more, I think there's more detail than that. He was being interviewed by the fan over there, the PM team, Pony and Chris Muller, and the fan now has a Bowser studio. They've built a studio out there. Bowser, you know, is giving everyone a car. I don't know what Pony drives. But, so they've got a studio out there. They were broadcasting that day since 9:30 a.m. You think fans would be out there and it would be like a scene.
Unless they lock off the studio part. But then again, why is Bowser doing this? Which is a question I have for this whole thing anyway. Is this bringing in enough business?
You know, you just want to be the official face of the Steelers, right?
I guess. I mean, we're talking about them. How many Pittsburgh area car dealerships have you and I discussed on this show?
A Century 3 Chevrolet, the power of Bowser.
Right, exactly. When it's something like this occurs, yes.
You know, so they've got this broadcast studio out there. You think there would be people? Where are the fan picks? No, not publicized. No fan picks, no crowds. So completely empty. It's not like this guy could just blend into the crowd and steal his car, you know? So it's pretty empty.
Was it even open? Could you go buy a car, like, if you were just interested in getting the car? Because I have to feel like these, whatever, however this place is laid out, they're very clearly segmented, I would assume, between here's the studio, here's where you're buying a Genesis.
It's like you walk past the studio on your way to the you know, to the lot, like, oh, let me go take a look at some of these Sierras, you know.
Wow, that's weird. Okay,
right.
Huh.
And so Christopher the Christopher Carter, the suspect, he rolls, he's 60 years old, he lives in Murraysville, just about 2 miles, you know, away, right?
Okay,
so he arrives at 1 o'clock. So Kenny can't be there yet because he doesn't get out for another, you know?
He's still practicing.
And this guy hangs out there and is just kind of milling around until 3:20. 3:20 is the time that cameras have him rolling out with the car.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, I it's been a minute since I bought a car, but if I'm on the lot for 2.5 hours, I've bought a car.
Someone is approaching you, recognized you, you know.
You've had a conversation with somebody. You're not just standing there looking at cars for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. Yeah, no crowd, you know, no crowd. There's this isn't a public event. So, so, you know, Kenny must arrive while he is still, while the guy is still there, the suspect is still there. The police get the call from Bowser just after 4 p.m. Kenny goes on the air at 4 p.m. That's when they, at the same time. But if you listen to, I listen to way too much fan coverage to see if they even bring it up. Nobody brings it up. I don't know if it's pending legal investigation, blah, blah, blah. But nobody even mentions, hey, we were there when Kenny's car got swiped or something. So no one brings it up. He doesn't bring it up in the interview. So I don't even know if he realizes the car has been stolen.
Well,
at that point.
I mean, that could speak to Kenny's professionalism. Here's a guy, you want to talk about staying cool under fire. Here's a guy that's going to do an hour of radio and not bring up like, hey, I think my car got stolen.
That'd be the first thing I would say.
Yeah, it would like, be the first
you know,
thing, yes.
How you doing, Kenny? I don't know. You know, I just got here and I think my car got swiped.
I was having a fine day at practice. Anyway, I think my car got stolen. That seems like that would something. Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. That's a true pro that doesn't bring up what seems to be the elephant in the room or not in the room, as it were.
Well, the fan tweeted, and I'm just like, how did this even happen? Because this didn't, it's not like these Genesis SUVs have a lock key with a lock and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all remote starter. And I'm just like, how did that happen? Does he just leave it in the car, walk into the studio and just like it's unlocked.
That's what I kind of told you on Saturday. That's what I thought. I think this is a guy that's just, you know, he spends most of his time either A, at home, or B, South Water Street, where you don't have to worry about anyone getting into your car. So he just leaves his keys in there. I mean,
maybe I just,
I'm just trying to find what's it? Occam's razor. That would be my Occam's razor pitch for what happened on Kenny's part.
I'll throw out, this is a total speculation, but I, you know, if you look at the video that Bowser tweeted and he's wearing these Nike gym shorts, young shorts.
Okay.
And there's some, it looks like there's something in his pocket and it's like, it's the phone is on the table and it's too thin to be a wallet, I believe. And I'm like, is that the key fob? Is there, you know, is it possible that somehow this guy got the car to start with Kenny having the thing in his pocket still? I don't know.
No, Kenny could also be a guy, maybe just carries a couple cards or carries a money roll or
It could have been a money clip. Yeah,
right.
That's a good point. It
know,
was
Jersey man. I mean, that's, you know, could be. Yeah.
Okay. So, at 3:20, the guy takes off with the car.
Okay.
They don't call the police until, you know, 40 minutes later. So I don't know if they realize what happened at first. But he drives to his home 2.1 miles away. So it's just 5 minutes away.
But you're also, you glossed over the thing, he put his dog in the SUV and drove off.
That is what a neighbor does claim that he had his dog with him the whole time.
That,
and threw it in this SUV and took off. That's what the neighbor is saying.
The first thing I thought of that is that, wow, I wonder if this is just maybe somebody I don't want to excuse someone's criminal behavior necessarily, but maybe this is somebody who's maybe some mental health struggles. And it's because if I'm stealing a car, if I'm engaged in this big crime, I'm not leading with my dog. Like, I'm not throwing the pup in there and then committing grand theft auto.
Well, you're not leaving the pup behind.
No,
you're not leaving
I'm not. Maybe that's just it. It's an impulse thing. It's like, wow, am I going to steal this car? I got my dog here. Well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
I
got
to get the dog in.
Right, yeah. It looks like you're an accomplice today, Fido.
So it's at some point, all right, the house is 2 miles away, 5 minutes away. You know, a neighbor says they saw him drive up with his SUV they didn't recognize and drive down the street. Now, at some point, police are called. It's Murraysville jurisdiction.
Okay.
Murraysville police are called for a domestic dispute. What? I don't know. What kind of domestic dispute? Well, the neighbor says he got into an argument with someone on the bike trail. I'm only assuming that this is who called the cops. And I'm thinking, did he take this stolen car and try to drive it down the bike trail to stash it?
I mean, that makes more sense than everything I was thinking, which is this is somebody who just might have some mental health struggles and they steal a car that isn't theirs and then go on the bike trail and just start yelling at people. But I mean, but your theory stands to reason too. Could be somebody that's like, wow, where am I going to steal this? Maybe I don't want to store it on my driveway 2.1 miles away. Perhaps I know where I've seen where people don't typically go, the bike trail.
So as this is happening, apparently the dog gets out of the SUV and he starts chasing after the dog, leaving the stolen car behind.
Yeah, the dog had a crisis of conscience here. Yeah.
At which point another neighbor shows up and says, oh, let me take this SUV back to Christopher's driveway. Returns it to the house where the Murraysville police find it when they show up looking for this this, you know, domestic disturbance.
What
on the
bike trail.
What a
moment for this second neighbor. They're trying to be the good guy, and then they at least had to try and explain this insane situation to the police. No, I didn't steal Kenny Pickett's SUV. I'm just returning it to the driveway of the guy who did.
And of course, that, you know, you got to give it to the local news. They got the eyewitness soundbite from the neighbor. What did the neighbor have to say about all this?
I like him because he's just not going to sit in the pocket. Get out of the pocket and run a little bit.
Doesn't has anything to say about the crime. He's talking about Kenny Pickett's performance.
Is that the guy that drove the car back? Is that who, or is this the other neighbor that called initially?
This is not the neighbor who drove the car back. This okay. is the neighbor who saw the dog get out of the car and run away. Okay. It's a, you know, it's there are a few houses there.
I do want to say that I think you glossed over it here that leans into your theory about maybe this guy did try to store it on the bike trails, that the SUV was scratched up. Which seems like yeah. exactly the kind of thing if you're driving it through some trees that maybe haven't fully bloomed yet down a bike trail where an SUV shouldn't be.
It was 2 miles away from the dealership, which is all, it's either highways or four-lane roads.
Right,
or something,
exactly.
You know?
It's not like, oh, we're going to store it near the lake. Like,
so, I don't know. This week he has his first preliminary hearing. I'd like to, hopefully the police report comes out. It wasn't public record at the time, but, the whole story is yet to be.
And it's deeply bizarre just in terms of, like, it. Just all over.
All over. Couldn't say it better.
Oh!
The band's on the field. But, you know, happy that the playbook is back and blah, blah, mm-hmm. yada, yada,
oh,
yada.
Yes.
You know, hope that Kenny didn't go without a car for too long.
I'm no, sure. it seems like he went he was without a car for an entire interview with the fan.
Yeah. I don't know if that car is drivable anymore. You know, it's like the Seinfeld episode. It might, you know, he might have to just give it up.
Well, Bowser will have to give him another car that's there. Apparently, they just do that. There's another vehicle. Like,
and then sell. You know, you could be like, this was Kenny's stolen car, and then you could probably upsell it for another.
Oh,
you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, remember Stephen King when he bought that van that hit him? He had to go through so many shadow buyers because he didn't want those people to jack up the price. He had to go through a whole bunch of intermediaries.
I need a shadow buyer. Okay, just a couple odds and ends, I think. At Steeler Nation, Mike Munchak gushes over Steelers Mike Tomlin, wants to return to coaching, make it happen. The quote from Munchak was, "I will always be a Steeler fan after spending my 5 years here with Coach T." Oh, is it, you know, what is it? Is it like, you know, we want to... What am I trying to say?
I
don't know. Do we want to give up what we've got to go back to the one we had?
Well, this Meyer guy seems to have done a good job. I mean, whatever you thought of the team last year, it's the one thing we all agree on, no matter what, is the offensive line got better as the season improved. Meyer did fine. Munchak is a legend on multiple levels, a Hall of Famer that was an excellent coach. Mike Tomlin's greatest failing in regards to Mike Munchak was he didn't keep Munchak's daughter from getting a job and raising her kid in Denver.
Yeah, and then in Denver didn't. I don't think he had the best time there.
No, I don't think any of them did.
And that kind of puts an end to this narrative. Says at 44 heavy 44, Ken Glockley Zaraki. But y'all said coaches hate Tomlin and his leadership. That's why he was leaving. Yeah, yes, men. What happened to that? Obviously no one, I don't know. I didn't really think that there was any kind of rift there.
No, you know? Not at all. I mean, the guy wanted to be close to his daughter and his grandkid. Okay. That's something you deserve to be when you're again, an NFL Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Who's a highly effective coach at, yeah.
And the final word goes to at Trib Sports, Tribune Review Sports, defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi purchased a house for his parents. Mm-hmm. I didn't see, I couldn't see how much it was. It wasn't a Matt Spaeth realty no. Sale. So Matt I didn't get to Spaeth see what how much it was or whatnot, but I'm sure it's an awesome house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would like to think after you played for almost the entire AFC North, you can buy your parents a nice house.
Yeah, yeah, I would hope before that, but...
Mm-hmm. Right, yes, that too.
Yeah, although I hoped by this point I would have been able to afford to
me
buy someone
too.
A house, but...
Yes, like yourself, even before your parents, myself, I'd like, well, you got a house, you got
I
a got, house.
I mean, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
But do I have a home?
That's what we've been talking about.
I suppose that's what we've been talking about. The conversation can continue. It's up to you. It's certainly not up to me because I'm hardly conversing on social media. But if you want to keep it going, please reach out. I'll be there like the Four Seasons. No, the four Tops. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm at Kyle Kreiss. Greg, are you somewhere out there?
Still on Instagram. I love the Instagram stories. Those are a lot of fun. At Greg Benevent, B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T.
Even my Instagram stories are boring, and they're made up. They're fiction. True crime. Until next time when we solve the Kenny... I guess it's already solved.
And other mysteries.
Yeah, we need a new mystery. Next time, it's the Kingdom of the Crystals. Of the Crystals?
Middle of June.
Yeah. All right, listen to your coach.
Be the best selves. That's going to be required.
Stay in school.